This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. Today's service is being conducted by Reverend Homer Larson. September is anniversary month at Christian Crusaders, and we have a very special offer that many will be interested in receiving. Be sure to listen for more information at the close of this program. We are happy you chose to worship with us today and invite you to join us every Sunday on this station.
Some of the most pathetic words spoken after a tragedy has occurred are these: "It could have been so different." We're going to talk about that in the sermon today. We invite you to stay tuned. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, there was a time when two blind men asked you to open their eyes that they might see. That is a petition that we come to you with today. Open our spiritually blind eyes that we might see, that we may have a vision of ourselves, but then to encourage us that we may have a vision of you and your grace. And, O God, speak to us that we might have a vision of what you are saying in your word. This we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Jesus, in his parable, tells us some very sad stories that end with happy endings. For example, remember the story of the prodigal son? It was that young man who took his inheritance and went away and spent it foolishly. And one day he awakened in the pig pen and decided, "I am a miserable person. I'm going to arise and go to my father." And on the way, he decided what he was going to say to his father. He's going to say, "I'm not worthy to be called your son. but could I have a place in your workforce? That was a repentant heart that came home to a loving father. And the happy ending is, the father was so happy to see him because of his repentance and his faith in him, and he also knew that he was his son, and he wanted to have him there in the household. And so he said, "Let's eat, drink, and be merry, for my son who is dead is alive, who is lost has been found." That is a story that in the beginning is very, very sad, tragic, that a young person was throwing his life away. But then when you get to the end, it's so happy because the young man is converted, turned around, and comes back home and is graciously received. Another one, much like that in some ways, was the parable of the Good Samaritan. You recall that this man was on his way down a road where there were robbers, and they beat him and stole what he had and left him by the side of the road to die. The people walked by, and they saw that he was there, still living. They could have helped him, but they simply went the other way until finally a Samaritan came. And he said, "That man's alive." And he got down and helped him as much as he could. And then he put him on his beast and took him into the town and said, "Care for this man, and I'll pay you whatever it costs." And as far as we know, the man got well and lived happily ever after. There's a time in that story where it's very sad, but it ends with a happy ending. Today, we have a story that is very sad, and it doesn't end with a happy ending. It is a parable that our Lord Jesus Christ told and is recorded in the 16th chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke. And I'm going to read it for you, but we're going to read it rather slowly, and I'm going to make a few comments, and then we'll see if there's some application for us as far as we are concerned, centering our thoughts around this. It can be so different. Here is the parable. Jesus told his disciples, there was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. In other words, this rich man had plenty of everything and he didn't want to work anymore. So he hires this person to run the business. And then he goes off on a trip and comes back and goes someplace else. And on one of these return trips home, a friend of his says, "If I were you, I'd take a look at my books, because that manager of yours is wasting your possession." So he called the manager in and he said, "I hear that you're not honest with me. What is this that I hear about you? I give an account of your management, because you cannot be manager here any longer." Can't you imagine they met there in his office, and this man who had been a good employer, who had given this manager a lot of liberty and paid him well and had exciting challenges that went along with his work, was now telling him, "I have fired you, but you go and get the books, and we're going to look at them together." Now then, the Bible says that the manager said to himself, "What shall I do now? My master has taken my job. I'm out of a job. I'm unemployed. I've got a family. What am I going to do?" And he was so downhearted. He was lamenting that he had gotten caught for doing a wrong. And there's quite a difference between lamenting the fact that you're caught and repenting because you have sinned. Well, he decided, "I'm not strong enough to dig." Probably was getting older. Didn't have the strength to go out and do physical work. "And I certainly am ashamed to beg. I've walked in some high society places, and I can't go back to them and say that now I don't have any money and suddenly I have no job. What will I do? Ah, he said, I know what I'll do. I will go to the people and make a deal with them. So he called in each one of his master's debtors. And he asked the first, how much do you have owe? How much do you owe my master? And that person says, 800 gallons of olive oil. And the manager told him, take your bill, sit down quickly and make it 400. And then he asked the second, and how much do you owe? 1,000 bushel of wheat, he replied. He told him, take your bill and make it 800. So after he had the bills all in and the records all doctored up for his advantage, he took them into the owner of the business. And he said, well, here are your books before I go. And I hope that you will be lenient with me in whatever way you can. And the manager the owner takes a look at this report, and he says to him, you know, you are pretty shrewd. For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it is gone, you will be welcome into eternal dwellings. In other words, the owner of the business knew what had happened. He knew that those records were not correct. He knew how they had been tampered with. And he had a pretty good idea that this manager of his was working a deal with the debtors in order that when he was unemployed, they would feel obligated to him. He was not repentant. He had no relationship with his employer. But the sorrowful thing about it is, we never hear any more about that man who was the unfaithful steward. No fine ending, no joy, no peace. And here come those very, very difficult words, and oh, how pathetic they are. When a person has wasted his life, and they say it could have been so different. Now, obviously, this manager did not have much of a personal relationship with the man who owned this business. If he had in the first place, he would not have been unfaithful to him. He would have said, well, this man has been very good to me. Look at all the blessings he has given me. Look at the joy that I have in my work. Look at the challenges. But he didn't say that. Oh, he might have for the first year or two that he was employed, but then he began to look around and made some friends and had some temptations, and he decided, I'm going to join the Playboys. And so instead of going to work, he went out and played. And it was at that particular time that the business began to collapse a little bit. As a result of that, he had to face the music. He was not in a good relationship with the owner. But after the owner had detected through the comments of some of his friends that he was being taken, he could have been dealt with then, if there had been a good relationship. Now just imagine if when this man who managed that business was called in to the boss, and the boss said to him, what is this that I hear about you? Just imagine if he had said, you don't have to go any further. I know I have done wrong. I am truly sorrowful. I have fallen into sin. I was making a good living, but greed said that I needed to make some more. And so I finagled the accounts around a little bit, and I thought you would never know it. But I come to you, and I'm very sorry. And let's imagine that the owner of that business could see that this man was not just lamenting that he had been caught, but that he was repenting because he had sinned against one who had been so gracious and good to him. What might he have done? Well, I'm convinced beyond all doubt, that owner would have said, because of your repentance, because of your sorrow, and because of your promise that you're going to really turn over a new leaf and be a different person, I want to give you another chance. I forgive you. It's all forgiven. The past is forgotten. And they could have gone on and said, it was a tragedy. I regret that I treated that man as I did. He had been so good to me. But I am so thankful that I am forgiven. And believe me, I will be his faithful servant from now on through. That's what could have happened. Now, you might have asked, well, you're making that up, and I imagine that I am deducting a few things. The reason that I believe that that owner would have treated the manager as he would like to have done is because of a word in the text. Jesus told his disciples there was a rich man. Now, who was the rich man? And the best commentators that I am able to read say that that rich man in this parable is God. And God is the one who is calling this person to an account. How can they come forth with an interpretation like this? Well, in the preceding chapter, in the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 15, you have the story of the prodigal son. And again, let's go back to it. We've already talked about it. But here's a man who took his inheritance and he spent it in wild living. And finally awakened as a homeless person. No place to lay his head. He was down with the swine. And the only thing that he ate was what the swine ate. But then he saw, what a fool I have been. Not lamenting that he was caught because he wasn't caught. No one was holding him to an account. If this is the way you wanted to live, well, it was up to you. It was up to him. So he decided, I'm going to repent, and I'm going home to my father. And he went home to him. And those words of repentance are so gracious. Father, I am not worthy to be called your son. But please, Father, please forgive me. I don't expect very much. I don't expect to be a part of the family again. But I ask if I could be on your workforce. And the Father, who in that case is God, God says, the man who is dead is alive. The man who was lost is found. We're going to eat, drink, and be merry. For he has come home. You see, that's grace. That's forgiveness. That's a picture that we have of God in chapter 15. And so when we turn to chapter 16, another picture of God, he was not hard-hearted. But he expected from that person who had done him so much wrong a repentant heart and to trust him as his friend. There are so many pictures as we walk through life that are very, very sad. So many pictures of what is happening to people. Just take a look as you go through your list of friends and see what some of them endure. My wife and I were talking about one family who has been very close to us through the years. The man is now blind. The wife has malignancy. They have lost a son and a grandson from cancer. And they still go on. Those are sad cases. But I wonder if even more sad than that are these cases that we hear where the people have made such a terrible mess out of their life because they had no relationship with God whatsoever. And they got into all kinds of difficulty. and they threw away what could have been a good personal relationship with God Almighty, and He would continue to have blessed them, but they threw it all away. We don't need God. We are sufficient in and of ourselves. And then suddenly their sin catches up with them, and the results are that they're broken. Instead of trying to come back to God with a repentant heart, they try to patch up that messed up life themselves, and they are not able to do it. Instead of coming to the throne of grace and crying out, Lord, help me, I need some help, they're out there trying to do the impossible. I take, for example, the marriages that we have. I will now begin first with those that are still intact. But the husband and the wife are really not in very good relationship with one another. The one blames the other for all of their problems. What would change it? Going to a counselor? Well, I'm not saying that they shouldn't. Perhaps a counselor can do them some good. But just handling this thing from a human point of view, no. Do them no good at all. What they need to do is come to the throne of grace. First, receive Jesus Christ as their Savior and their Lord. And say to one another, you know, we've tried to run this marriage for 32 years, and it hasn't been very good. And now we're thinking about ending it because the kids have gone, and we'll go our jolly old way. Instead of saying that, let's ask Jesus Christ into our married life together, and let us then begin to see where He can lead us. And He'll begin to put His fingers on the sins of each one, and how that has contributed to the marriage state that they're in. Now there's an opportunity to say to God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, marriage is a holy estate ordained by you, God, and we thought we could run it without you. Will you forgive us? Will you forgive us? And what do you think God the Father will say? Come. Let me bind you together and let the remaining years that you have on this life, on this earth, be fruitful and filled with joy. But when it comes to a divorce, what a sorrowful thing, because you rushed into the divorce court before giving any thought, to know that now that which God had established, you have destroyed, and you have to say, it could have been so different. That's a different tune than saying, well, we weren't meant for one another. It could have been so different. My friends, the Lord Jesus is anxious to bind us together. We might have a pathetic story, but just remember that if we will take that to the Lord Jesus, then that pathetic story can suddenly have a happy ending. He is the one who invites us to come when we have been the unfaithful servant. He is the one who says, I'll forgive you and I will help you as you remake your life, whether it be in the marriage state or something else. I moved it away from the financial because there are so many other ways that we sometimes fail. And it can be different if we will only trust the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will.
Will you join me in a prayer that I learned as a young person and continually pray as I grow older? Let us pray. Open mine eyes, O Lord. Open mine eyes. Into my darkened heart, let your light arise. Show me myself, O Lord. Show me thyself, O Lord. Show me thy truth, O Lord. Open my eyes. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We thank our faithful listeners for your generous gifts and prayers necessary to make this ministry a reality. Christian Crusaders' first broadcast was aired September 6, 1936, live on WMT Radio from Trinity Lutheran Church in Waterloo, Iowa. We now broadcast on 19 stations in 9 states across our nation, shortwave in Europe, and on the internet. With 71 years of continuous radio broadcast, Christian Crusaders is the 8th oldest ministry in the United States. We are grateful to you, our listeners, for making this ministry possible with your financial support and prayers. To help celebrate our anniversary, Christian Crusaders is excited to offer Basic Biblical Truths, a set of 5 gospel-centered messages by Reverend Homer Larson on DVD. These 20-minute video programs are ideal for church pulpit supply, group, and individual Bible studies. They are available by request with a suggested donation of $10 per program. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's service are available free of charge. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-693-2484. In the Waterloo Cedar Falls, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, speaker on Christian Crusaders, now in its 71st year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.